And what we have to ask is, why is it that God has admonished us to hate evil? Well, first of all, God loves you.
Cuando tu vuelvas, he said, he drugged the victims, then strangled them, and finally dismembered their bodies.
Right. Then do
the homelessness and all that.
And now, the voice you've been waiting for.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive, it's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Thursday, June 23rd, 2005. This would be Newsreel, your daily report as the woke counterculture defeats the evil of core political tyranny. And we are winning this war. Don't think for a moment that we are not. I got lots of stories today showing that we are, in fact, winning some battles that will lead us all to win this war. Don't you worry a single bit. I know things are looking scary right now. But if you can manage to stay stone cold, pretty soon our options will unfold. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening, you're taking a stand for free listening, which, believe it or not, is a lot harder than you might think. Free speech and free listening, aren't they the same thing? That's right, a hot media coming at you, which you can respond to in turn by going to my live journal. You can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. Once you're there, you'll be able to read along with all the news stories with me, and you know it'll be time to turn the page when you hear me go, ding! This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, OspreyRadio.info, and Extreme Radio Tampa. Also, if you drink the rest of your coffee in the cup, you can put the cup up to your ear, and you'll be able to hear a newsreel in there, too. You are free to distribute this broadcast any way you spit, you can distribute this broadcast. Matter of fact, take the CD, burn it, hook a big lung butter loogie on the back of it and stick it to the back of the office door. Guaranteed, someone's going to pull that off of there and go, ew, hey, I wonder what's on this disc. That's exactly what's going to happen. Let's get into some feedback. Sean, I suggest distributing Newsreel via catapult. That is the best fucking idea I've heard all week. You know what? That's the problem we've got most of the time now on the internet. We don't actually go out and go with these really zany ideas. We never think outside the box. Distributing Newsreel CDs via catapult is brilliant. Burn 1,000 CDs, put them in a catapult, take the catapult to a hilltop above a city, launch catapult, then plead not guilty. Soldier on pro. Very, very cool, bro. Glad you thought of that? I'm so ronery. My mouth is not working today. There's not much I can do with my mouth today. I don't really know why. Perhaps it's because I've had very little sleep and I'm up drinking coffee at God knows how early in the morning it is. I can't read my clock anymore because I thought it was whispering to me, so I snapped off the second hand. Dear Sean, I cannot begin to tell you how incredibly wrong the way you are handling this pro-Anna situation. Uh-oh, looks like I'm getting reamed out here. The first thing you need to realize about this is you do not talk about Anna. The second thing you need to realize is you do not talk about... Okay, hang on. The first thing you need to realize about it is, A, Anna is a mental condition, not just an eating disorder. These people have such a bad self-image that they will not eat. So while spamming these people, getting into their groups and posting pictures of cows and abusing these people is so fucking stupid. The important part here is when Anna breaks, they don't break down and eat a burger. They break down and kill themselves. These people have found groups online because they can't speak to the people they know in real life. So infiltrating them and lying to these misguided people will do a lot of damage because they will find out and they will feel betrayed and by the only people who understand them. The only way you can hope to help these people is to either, one, find some ex-Anna people who live through it and understand these people and set up some sort of way for them to be able for the Anna people to come to. That's cool, like a Anna survivor group thing. send some wogs to medical school. Anything else and you can only cause damage. The essence of the email is this. Stop telling wogs to do stuff to these people. As far as I can tell, the ideas the wogs have put forward to deal with these people are based on zero research. They haven't even talked to any of these people. They're just that. People. Wogs can help by befriending these people, not by trying to manipulate them, just to give them someone to talk to. People who are given good support structure will be able to become good, well-adjusted people. So give them a good support structure. Don't try to manipulate them by making them feel guilty or stupid. All of these are long-term plans. There is no quick fix to this problem. If you start any of these plans and then bail out 6 months down the line, it's just doing damage. This is why I said it's better people don't know about the pro-Anna, pro-Mia. Almost no one is willing to put in the time. They look for a quick fix. They just go in there and tell people that they are shit. Being victimized and lied to and manipulated on the one place you feel safe, that feels like shit. So either put in the time or leave it alone. Thanks. And that's going to be a name withheld because we don't want to... That sounds like someone who may have actually had a little bit of experience being there. Well, that's very, very valid. That is a valid email. You know what? That's totally valid. I don't know much about Mia, whatever. I don't know much about that shit. I really don't. Now, at the same time, though, you don't want to make the deadly mistake of being enabling, right? You don't want to sit back there and go, you know what? Well, you know, this is acceptable. I don't understand why it is that we have this problem in a first world nation. Like, how did this problem come into being? Now, there's a lot of things about this that I'm sure I could get into the medical texts and la, 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 la. And I guess there's a lot more to it than thumping these people and stuffing a ho-ho in their mouth, I suppose. But, you know, generally, if you were to stuff them full of ho-hos, I don't think they'd die. That said, though, I think that this person had a really good point in their email. Perhaps we should do a little bit more research, so we're going to call off the Anna War right now, because the last thing I'd want is to see people getting hurt or people getting abused, even if they are stupid, misguided, skinny people who aren't thinking clearly. But if you do want to help, I mean, helping them out by maybe getting them a copy of Newsreel. You know, so if there's any Anna Mia people this particular episode who are, you know, listening to the show, first of all, go eat something. Second of all, I'm very sorry that I may have, you know, caused you some inconvenience with the whole bulimia Mia thing. But generally, we're just trying to make a difference here. We're trying to, like, figure out what the hell is going on with you people because we don't understand it. It's very weird. I mean, you got to look at it from our perspective, okay? What would be the equal perspective for the Mia Bia people? Let's say I couldn't stop eating because I wanted to be super fat. You know what I mean? And every time I looked in the mirror, I just saw myself as skinny. And therefore, no, I need to be super fat all the time. You know, which is strangely close to the truth for some reason. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to do something here. Just sitting back and going, well, I guess we can't do nothing. You know? I don't understand how it is possible that these people can come to this conclusion in the first place. Is this a media disease? Is that what this is? I wouldn't be surprised if it is. All you got to do is go down to the local big box bookstore and take a look at the magazine rack, and you will see 10 tons of shit being broadcast cold media style into the brains of all of our children. And there's not much we can do about that as long as the core political have control of the media. But isn't a free media important? Of course it is. Of course it is. That's why this show exists. But we have to be careful, and we have to make sure that we talk straight to our kids. You know, that's what this is all about. It's about talking straight to your kids. It's about making kids think. It's about getting kids to stop hurting themselves. And yeah, you know what? If I have to break a couple of noses to stop some kids from dying, I'm all about that, okay? I don't have a problem with that at all. However, this person who sent in this email does seem to be rather educated, and perhaps... this needs a little bit more thought. I can't really order people to go attack the Anna Mia people. That's not my call. I'm just one guy with a flag over here. So I submit that to your approval, and perhaps I think that this person's with this email here. This probably changed my mind a little bit. Because we wouldn't want to actually cause these people more pain, you know, because they're already all fucked up. So it's a pickle. It is a pickle. I do like their notion there of befriending these people and trying to get them out of sight of this, you know, mindset. I guess this meme they got going on that's damaging their head, I'd like to get them outside of that, but I don't know how exactly to do that because that sounds like a long-term goal to me. Let's get straight into the news then, never mind my massive debasing on my own opinion. But you know, I mean, hear me out here, I'm looking at this, it is a medical condition. I guess, you know, maybe I stepped a little bit out of line by telling people to go make fun of the skinny people. So stop making fun of the skinny people. All right. in defeated core politicals news. This is why I'm such a good mood today, because we've got this story to lead us off. This was sent to me by Fat Ninja, who waddled around in his kimono and sent me this. For a few seconds after the final vote was announced, the residents of Brighton Bay sat in stunned silence. Then the chamber at Hull erupted into cheers. "I don't believe it," shouted one man. "Oh my God," a woman yelled. "Power to the people," a man screamed. I'm really certain that a man did not scream power to the people. But anyway, after more than 9 hours of a debate, the unthinkable has happened. What was supposed to be a routine site review for a new Walmart supercenter at 10490 Gandhi Boulevard turned to a major defeat for the retail giant when Environmental Development Commission rejected its plan 5-2. The battle isn't over. Walmart can appeal the commission's decision by city council. But it was a huge victory for Brighton Bay residents, who mobilized a well-funded, highly organized effort to block the development. "We didn't use emotion, we used fact," said Doug Davidson, who lives in the northeast St. Petersburg neighborhood. And it was clear there were far too many doubts for this development to work on this site. Eric Brewer, the community affairs manager for Walmart, said the company officials plan to address the EDC's concerns before deciding what to do next. Obviously, they're going to start paying people off. That's what they're going to do next. The company has already taken several steps to appease concern by city staff, including agreeing to spend more than $5 million to expand Gandhi's Boulevard from 4 lanes to 6 to accommodate the increased traffic from the 150,000-square-foot store. We would have loved to have an approval tonight, but it's incumbent upon us that we make sure that we take what we heard tonight and address it specifically, Brewer said. A little bit more close to home, it seems, in North Vancouver, in my stomping grounds of British Columbia, they had a big forum last night, which I heard on my lovely little radio, talking about the Walmart they're trying to put in there. And I guess there's a lot of people who are objecting to these Walmarts. You know what this means? This means that the big box Wally World can be fought. More than it can be fought, it can be defeated. And this is great. What we need to do now is make sure that every time we hear about a Walmart store going anywhere, we mobilize in that neighborhood. Because you know what's going to happen is, if Walmart keeps getting shut down — that's twice in a row now they're starting to get shut down — they're just going to stop asking people, and they're just going to go in there and put up those stores regardless. They won't care what anybody says. And that's the next logical step, if you think tactically about this whole thing. Of course, you know, there's going to be your PR campaigns and your advertising and how they're great for the fucking community, which is the biggest joke ever. You know, the communities are based upon small businesses and the small businessman. There's nothing eats small businesses like Wally World, all right? So if you even want to have anything that's even remotely resembling competition, you do not want Walmart in your neighborhood. It's just that simple. Now, let's get on to a Black Ice alert was sent to me by Ghostless. God damn it, mouth work. Black Ice alert. Okay, Family Guy. You know the show? Torrents are being intentionally seeded with bad data. You're wondering, what the hell, Sean? You're talking about torrent? And just hear me out. It's from Diggs. It appears that many users are having problems downloading episode 405 because they're getting bad data from a huge IP blocks. One comment mentioned similar problems with American Dad. Looks like two hosting companies have been recruited to bombard these torrents with bad data. Now that, I've got the link there for this Black Ice alert. But this shows that this is really turning into a hacker war, a Decker war, if you like. Netspace war, maybe not a hacker war. I don't want to get into the hacker cracker war thing going on here, but you know what I'm saying. If they start damaging our machines, then I think we should start pulling in the keto world and start using greater force against itself. If they really want to step this up, because, you know, I'll notice that more and more in the news lately, there's been more and more stories of the software they're using to compete against file sharers being more and more malicious. It's vicious out there. Some of the stuff they're putting into machines is just sick and weird. I don't understand why they're doing it. Well, actually, that's a lie. That's a vicious lie. I know why they're doing it. They're doing it because they want to make their money, because they're a bunch of greedy bastards, because they're core political scum. But I don't really see how core political scum damaging some 8-year-old girl's computer is really going to make a difference. Don't think so. There's a 14-year-old girl just the other day who's being threatened with prison. By who? By Warner Brothers. I'm here to tell you, man, that t-shirt that you see running around before, like, I saw this t-shirt one time. It was on, I can't remember what it says. If you see the cops, Warner Brother, that's pretty much how it is. That's what Warner Brothers is. If you see a cop, Warner Brother. Because I swear to God, man, it's not just for certain neighborhoods anymore, dude. I mean, it's for everybody. Warner Brothers has declared war on the entire freaking world. And keeping with the Brotherhood of Man, hey, if you see the cops coming for a buddy over a peer-to-peer network or an IP trace, Warner Brother. That's the way I like to look at it. Why not? What the hell? In skill set news, note that there was no racial intent anywhere. You know, I'm terrified of making racial comments. Jesus Christ. I hate that. It's like you got this weird meme going on in your head, you know? I saw that t-shirt. It was on a guy on somewhere on the internet. You've probably seen the same one where it was a black guy wearing the t-shirt that said, if you see the police, and then at the logo it said Warner Brother. It was a joke, right? But now I make that joke and I'm getting worried about being called a racist. I'm not a racist. I am not a racist, yet I'm terrified. I've got this, you know, it's pretty hard for white guys. It is. It totally is. If you say the wrong thing, dude, you are instantly painted with a racist brush. There's nothing you can do about it. I mean, you make a joke, whatever. We grow up listening to NWA, we listen to Ice-T, but we still can't say the word nigger. You know? It's weird. It's totally weird. I know that it's an inappropriate term to be using in mixed company. But, I mean, when you think about all the other inappropriate terms I use in, well, this show, that one shouldn't be a big one either. Now, it's not the fact that I want to, you know, start throwing out racial slurs in casual conversation. That's not the point here. What I'm talking about is how the ideas and concepts of racism are being used to keep we as people separate. You see what I mean? If you can constantly play the race card on your culture, on your people that you're being kept inside the cages, you will prevent them from unifying. I think we need to ditch all racist slogans. Like, not so much ditch the words, because you can't ditch the word, but you need to ditch the meaning. If we could get around that and start referring to everybody as brothers, because it used to be like you'd always hear, like, that's my brother. You know, that used to be the big thing. A black guy would call another black guy a brother. That was the big gig. But I'm saying, why do you have to keep up with that? Why don't you just make everybody calling everybody brothers? What the hell? You know what I mean? You see what I mean? It's all words. It's all just words. A word doesn't make sense. It's like the swearing thing I'm always going on about. You know, not the fact that I'm always swearing, but honestly, a swear word is just a word. People get all bent out of shape over fucking words. You know? Pisses me off. Anyway, back to skill set news. And skill set news from Dead Code. Now, for those of you out there who are looking to learn themselves a new language, this is the language I'm going to learn. I'm going to need some people to help me with this. But anyway, a new software language promises to enable computers to reason much more precisely and thus better reflect subtleties intended by commands of human operators. Now check this out. This gets a little heady, but stick with me here, okay? Developed by the National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST, researchers and colleagues in France, Germany, Japan, and the United Kingdom, the process specification language software known as ISO 18629 should make computers much more useful in manufacturing. Interesting. ISO 18629 uses artificial intelligence and language analysis to represent computer commands in context of a manufacturing plant. Researchers have incorporated approximately 300 concepts such as duration and sequence into software structure. Computers using the software with expanded, though still primitive, AI capacity can act on a word's meaning, interpreting the command almost like a person. Now, this is going to be obviously used for robotic applications, and my urge for learning this becomes very, very apparent. For instance, a person who hears the command, paint it before shipping, and turn on the coolant before milling, understands the word before has slightly different meanings than the other two words, different from context. In the first command, it is understood that the painting must be dried, completed prior to the next action. Shipping, the second command, however, the first action, turn on the cooling, continues after the milling starts. ISO 18629 supports computer systems with this type of rudimentary understanding of context-specific language. Okay, let me just cover that again. ISO 18629 supports computer systems with this type of rudimentary understanding of context-specific language. Now, this is very base-level stuff, but holy cow, is that ever hot. I mean, think about what you could do with this if you got yourself a droid or something and you're trying to build some operating systems for this. I mean, if you got a programming language that already has speech recognition built into it, wow. I mean, that's very, very cool. Not only that, it can take speech and put it into context. That's pretty sexy stuff. In sold-out war news. Now, Begalio sent this in. Sold-out war. This is just, you know, I don't understand what, like, there's another story talking about how, you know, really the core politics all are seriously calling the shots. But these are smoke and gun stories about how, you know, everything that I do here on the show. Honestly, some days like today, you just got to bust out of the box and just not give a shit and start screaming into the mic. Because there's stories like this that come along that really choke you out. This chases the Walmart victory, but here we go. New regulations aimed at protecting America's food supply from terrorists were diluted after supermarket chains, foreign governments, and other interests objected that complying would be too expensive, records show. So never mind the safety aspect, it's just too expensive. we don't want to actually save anybody because it's too expensive. After all, you know, profits over people, people. Under the regulations finalized by the Food and Drug Administration on December 9th, the FDA can require the food industry to maintain records that would help investigators quickly trace contaminated food to its source. They're not already doing this? The regulations were signed by outgoing Secretary of Health and Human Services Tommy Thompson on December 2nd. He's the guy who came up and took over, I think Tommy Thompson took over Homeland Security and then bailed on Homeland Security. The day before he declared that a fear of an attack on the food supply kept him awake at night. So yeah, if you think about it, I mean, a terrorist attack or a bioagent attack on a food supply would pretty much, you know, take us out pretty hard. I, for the life of me, cannot understand why terrorists have not, you know, attacked our food supply, because it's easy to do, Thompson said at December 3rd news conference upon his departure from the Cabinet Post. We are importing a lot of food from the Middle East, and it would be easy to tamper with that, he said. But the final FDA regulations on tracking food tampering, an initial requirement that they apply to foreign-owned makers of food products exported to the United States, has been deleted. So if we get food, you know, you get your couscous from overseas there, well, chances are they don't have any idea where it came from. And if there happens to be some ricin or some anthrax in your couscous, well, your number's up. And no one will be able to track down the people who killed you. Sorry, thanks for coming out. Several other requirements that appeared in the FDA's original proposal have also been removed after the food manufacturing and distribution industry objected to the cost of implementing them. Whoa! Being safe with our food costs money? No, no, no. We're not interested in that. No! Don't be insane. The Public Health, Security, and Bioterrorism Preparedness and Response Act of 2002 already excluded poultry, beef, and other foods that are inspected by the Department of Agriculture, as well as roadside farm markets, restaurants, and fishing boats. Well, I'm not really so scared of the farmside market. I'm not so scared of the restaurant. I am a little scared of massive fleets of ship fishing boats coming in and offloading fish that could be quite easily treated with some kind of tetrotoxin. You know, not to put too fine of a point on it. Now, there'd be those that would argue that economically, the Middle East would never, ever tamper with our food supply, with food that we get from there, because obviously they'd be slitting their own throats. All we need is one batch of poison food from the Middle East, and we would never, ever buy Middle Eastern food again. And therefore, that would hurt them. You know, they'd lose a source of revenue, which they're using to fund this fucked-up war on terror. Well, from their side, anyway. Of course, who am I to talk about having the fucked-up war on terror? I mean, it's our continent that's causing most of the problems right now. As a matter of fact, it could be argued the entire war on terror is a ruse. But, you know, we'll get there. In Decker News. Now, you want to talk about Deckers who are walking around with balls that clank. You want to talk about guys that really stepped up to the plate and decided to fuck with some power? Let's talk about being a hacker in China, okay? In China, that lovely golden land where they will fucking shoot you for any reason and sell your organs to people on the street, okay? Chinese hackers have defaced the website of a police-run security company that is leading the new effort to strengthen the communist government's control over the internet. So these Chinese hackers went into the police-run security company that's trying to get control of the internet, and not only did they, like, the people that are out to get them, and they defaced their website. I'm like, wow, that is a ballsy, ballsy move. I hope you really covered your track. The action by unknown hackers against the website of the Beijing General Security Services Company comes amidst its drive to recruit a corps of 4,000 internet security guards to monitor the online activities of people in the Chinese capital. So you get 4,000 live security guards, web guards, metro police. That's exactly what they are. That's Chinese metro, like, well, web cops, metro cops, I suppose would be the, what do they call them online? Net cops, I guess. A security company that cannot even protect its own website can hardly talk about security, the hackers wrote in a notice that appeared on the site section last week. Wow. You can bank the people are going to get. I hope nobody gets caught. And I hope nobody knows who anybody else is, because you know if the Chinese government gets a hold of these guys, they're going to torture them until they sing one hell of a song. The action against Beijing General Security underlines the challenges Chinese officials face in their campaign to tame the internet. Now, in China, the Chinese officials don't have, you know, the little facade of decency that we do have in America. Like, in China, they're allowed to torture you and shit. I mean, over here, we're not allowed to, but they do it anyway. But still, I mean, at least in China, I mean, all bets are off. I mean, when they want to get out of control, they really get out of control in Chinese prisons. However, the company's continuing drive to recruit online overseers underlines Beijing's determination to prevent the internet from posing any challenge to the Communist Party's monopoly on political power. That's right. I wonder if it'd be possible for WOGs to get in there and volunteer as internet security guards and then somehow, you know, not just do their job. Of course, you might wind up becoming an international criminal that way. But hey, there's so many ways to become an international criminal these days. Who gives a shit? Agents of hostile forces at home and abroad are using the internet to engage in propaganda. Propaganda? Good God. Like me, you mean? Infiltration? Woo-woo. Incitement? Wow. I'm an infiltrating incitement propaganda artist. And sabotage. A sabotaging infiltrate. An insightful sabotage propaganda artist. There we go. An official in Beijing General Security said, and strengthening management of the internet is of special significance for the strengthening of the party's ability to govern. Yeah. Every time the official of Beijing General Security opens his mouth and says something stupid, take another bong hit. Holy crap. This guy is so full of shit, his eyes are brown. I swear to God, I don't know what these people are thinking over there, that they think they're just going to, we will hold the smoke in our fist and crush it. Well, it's not going to work, guys. Okay, you've got people over there who want freedom, they've had a taste of freedom, and they're not going to let it go. In nomadic technautical news. Now, this is one of those ones where you look at these stories, and everyone's thought about going technautical. Technautical meaning we take a boat, we fortify it like a house, we go and we live on it, and then suddenly you're nomads. You're not part of any border, you're not part of any country. The only thing I've got to worry about is pirates. Of course, with the kind of money, if we had the money to buy ourselves a boat, we'd have the kind of money to arm our boat the way we want. AA-12 much. Not only that, but I mean, if I was buying myself a ship to turn into a techno-nomad, you know, like a nautical techno-nomad, I would probably, I used to think that getting a sailboat would have been the best option. This has changed. Why? Sailboats are bastards to run. They really are. They're hard to run. And it's hard, even harder, for one guy to run it. I mean, for one guy to run a big-ass sailboat, because if you're living on a boat, right, you don't want to be living on no fucking dory. You want to be living on a nice-sized boat, because you got to have your lab in there, you got to have all your Batman stuff in there, you got to have your helicopter, all that good stuff, right? So the way I see it, I mean, if I was to have my druthers, if anyone out there happens to have, like, a Pegasus reconnaissance craft, you know, one of the military hydroplanes, I'd love to get one of those. You know, I'd do it up at my house and everything, make it the Mobile Rant Studio 2. You know, we'd hook that all up. Run it on biodiesel so I could catch fish, boil them down, and run the boat on biodiesel fish. What the hell? Why not? I mean, yeah, it's kind of stupid that I got to kill fish to run my boat. But, hey, you got to push with the cock you got. So if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. As well, I've also gotten on a pretty good opinion that, the ones that are sail versus the ones that are motorboats, the motorboats go faster and give you a bit more control as well. Again, if pirates were to come aboard your boat, if you had a ex-military motorized boat, you could lock all the hatches down. And realistically, there's not too many ways they could get in without using explosives. And from there, it turns to a story of automated turrets and claymores and slice wire on the sides of your boat. Not to mention the alligator and the borble. So, you know, there's certain resources available to you if you have a powerboat versus a sailboat. But I digress. Let's get back to this nomadic technautical news sent to me by Ghostless. A tropical island off the east coast of Africa is best known for its white sand beaches, its designer clothing outlets, and its spicy curries. But Tiny Mauritius, Mauritius, is about to stake a new claim to fame. By year's end, or soon afterward, is expected to become the world's first nation with coast-to-coast wireless internet coverage. The first country to become one big hotspot. If there's anyone who can do it, it's us. Rizan Rahim, the head of ADB Networks, the company installing the wireless radio network across the 40-mile-long island. It's a small place. For a wireless network, it's manageable. For us, it's a test. If successful here, we can island hop to mainland Africa. Now, you'd think that these people, like, I was talking to Maverick the other day, and we were talking about what's going on in Ethiopia, and you'd think it'd be kind of funny to have, you know, people who are starving to death in Ethiopia and Mogadishu and all these places wanting the internet, because, you know, they'd much rather have some food. Well, realistically, though, it's kind of like that teach a man to fish versus giving a man to fish thing. If the people over there, if we could start getting them educated and start teaching them through the web, through server, it won't be long before they'll be able to start looking after themselves. Of course, there's a whole lot of people in Africa who'd like to keep the people stupid. There's a whole lot of people in Africa that would like to keep the black man down. I don't know why that is. Well, I can speculate. You know, it seems to me that if we were to really hook up the cradle of civilization and do our, and to really follow our responsibility as supposedly first world nations, we have to start looking after the people who are underprivileged. And the best way to do that is to educate them, because only through education are you truly free. Like many African nations, this modest country has struggled economically, as industries that underlie its economy, particularly sugar production and textiles manufacturing, have run into tough global competition and declining prices. Looking for alternatives, the government has settled on a new and ambitious vision, turning sleepy Mauritius with its endless sugarcane fields and tourist beaches into a high-tech computer and telecommunications center. Aha! See you in Mauritius. Very cool place for us all to go if it was, in fact, a massive Wi-Fi spot. It is our vision to transform Mauritius into a cyber island, said Deechland Jiha, the country's Minister of Information Technology and Telecommunications, in a speech he made last year. The nation, he said, is confident in the potential of the industry as an engine of growth, which can generate jobs and wealth creation, which means getting people to get some money. So if you've already got a boat and you happen to be downloading this on the open sea, well, make sure you let me know, because I may need you to swing by and pick me up sometime. But beyond that, you might want to think of looking at Mauritius as a possible location for you to hide out at after the bombs start falling. Just sort of a thought. I got a great story for all you air war freaks out there. I got a good buddy of mine, Ronan Medic. You know those guys who just know everything there is to know about planes, like any kind of jet ever? Everybody knows these guys. They're the ones who are usually in the library at the World War II section, and they know everything that every general did for either party. You know what I mean? Those guys? Well, I got a buddy like that. Ronan Medic, he's like that. The guy can look at a silhouette. He can watch a shadow of a jet flying by at Mach 15, and he can tell you the maker of the engines on that jet. You know what I mean? He's just one of those kinds of people. So for all of you out there who are like that, because, you know, there's some serious air jockey, you know, serious speed-faced guys going on, there's a little news that Malcav found, some dogfighting news that got sent in. I love stories like this. It might be over budget and years late, but the Eurofighter Typhoon has shown that it can shake off America's best fighter plane and shoot it down. Now, obviously, this may not be America's best fighter plane, but anyway, check this out. A chance encounter over the Lake District between a Eurofighter trainer and two F-15 Strike Eagles turned into a mock dogfight with a British plane coming off best, much to the surprise of the RAF. The episode was hushed up for fear of causing U.S. blushes. Well, you know, the U.S. lose war games all the time. For a project 10 years late and $8 billion over budget, it was a welcome piece of good news. The clash took place last year over Windermere, where the two-seater RAF Eurofighter was bounced from behind by the two F-15 Eagle fighters. The U.S. pilots intended to pursue the supposedly helpless Limey for several miles, locked their radars on it so long enough so it had been a real dogfight, the British jet would have been shot down. But much to the American surprise, the Eurofighters shook them off, outmaneuvered them, and moved into shooting positions on their tails. The British pilots themselves were almost surprised at winning the encounter with an aircraft widely regarded as the best fighter in the world. Now, that was last year. And, of course, there's other fighters that I'm sure I'm going to get mail with from the good, loyal, patriotic Americans going, oh, yeah, they think they're the shit, huh? Well, let's throw up this one here. Now, there's a great quote from Rommel that before we go any further, I have to say. And this is my, I believe this totally, totally and completely. Rommel, the general who happened to work for the Nazis, he wasn't a Nazi himself, he just happened to work there. He said that if you were to give me British officers, Canadian troops, and American kit, that he would take the world. And that is, in fact, it's totally the truth. If you look at the history, man, Canadian fighters, Canadian soldiers have always been some of the toughest goddamn soldiers in the world. Not the toughest. That particular title, I think, goes to the Nepalese. But, you know, I would have to say that never mind the fact that, you know, they got beaten up. You have to give the Americans props, because they have the gauge of technology by which all other war technology is, in fact, judged. But that said, the British pilot shot him down, so please adjust your opinion accordingly. In poisoned freight news, listen up, Fat Ninja. This ad sent this in to me, and this is directly applying to you and any other truckers out there on the road. Anti-depleted uranium activists who have been fighting for more than a year to prevent the renewal of a special hazmat exemption for deadly substances scored a big win recently when Department of Transportation DOT announced its intent to let the special exemption lapse. The exemption permits the movement of highly toxic radioactive DU on the highways without a DOT radioactive warning label to be displayed on their secret shipments. The DOT's Pipeline and Hazardous Material Safety Administration announced plans to phase out the exemption over the next 2 years, transitioning to full compliance with hazardous materials regulations. Now, which scares me is the fact that there's radioactive waste being moved and these truckers don't know about it because there's no labeling. This special exemption, technically known as DOT E9649, was first set up in 1986 and has been renewed on a benign basis ever since. The decision is important because the military has consistently denied that depleted uranium is toxic or hazardous substance, even though the depleted uranium shells, after hitting tanks, generally become radioactive again, and Geiger counters go off the fucking chart. The fact that the government will now agree that anti-DU activists is a major step in validating the belief that DU is behind a number of unexplained illnesses affecting U.S. soldiers and civilians in and around battlefields and the series of birth defects afflicting their offspring. This is all a part of Gulf War Syndrome, which nobody really wants to talk about anymore. Remember Gulf War Syndrome? Remember that? There's a lot of people out there suffering, a lot of people out there dying, a lot of people out there with funny-looking kids because of Gulf War Syndrome, yet nobody's talking about it. The poisonous DU ammunition has been used in the ongoing Iraq and Afghanistan wars. Shipments of the material occur daily throughout America on highways, railways, and waterways. So all of you out there, you might want to get yourself your personal Geiger counter, because if this is what's going on now and they're removing the exemption so suddenly there's warnings, you know, does that mean that all this time you've been handling radioactive stuff? You know, and that's one of the reasons why you got to make sure you've got some kind of a radiation guard with me. Or with you. With everyone. Everyone should have one. Just in case, you know, you're walking along and all of a sudden your watch starts going, you know, it's time to, you know, back out of the area. Not to get too Twilight 2000 here, but judging by this story, it seems that there's an awful lot more radioactivity flowing around than I thought there was in the first place. A little bit scary. Now, you ready for this one here? This is the big bastard from the machine screw. You ready? The big sellout. This story here bummed me right out. If anyone had any sort of question of whether or not Google sucks ass, Google does in fact suck ass. And this was its first, like, one of its major plays I've seen that has made me go, you fucking scumbags. Here we go. Part of the internet's magic is the freedom it bestows to travel as far as your mind can take you. Part of the magic, that is the internet magic. But not if you're in China, where the totalitarian government is leery of the internet and is hostile to the merest mentions to ideas such as freedom. No surprise there. What is a shock is that several huge U.S. companies are helping China muzzle free expression. Software giant Microsoft, evil, has agreed to block certain words. The words are democracy, freedom, and human rights. They're among some of the words. By users on parts of its new Chinese internet portal. According to news reports, the words trigger this message. This item should not contain forbidden speech, such as profanity. Wow. Freedom is profane? What's actually profane is a company that built its fortune on the freedom providing American systems, helping a repressive regime censor such ideas. Sadder still is that Microsoft has company among other U.S. tech concerns that should know better. For example, who else is in this nice little evil alliance here? This axis of server evil, Yahoo. China signed a pledge of self-discipline in 2002, vowing to refrain from posting pernicious information that may jeopardize state security, end quote. Google has launched a news search engine in China last year, but searchers in China get a different list of news links than someone doing similar searches in the USA. Missing leaks include the BBC and Voice of America, which carry reports not to China's liking. So Google's thrown in with China as well. Evil. The importance of this should not be underestimated. The internet and capitalism was supposed to jumpstart democracy in former communist regimes. These actions suggest a different future, one in which companies and dictators share the benefits in suppressing democratic communications. Well, let me just read that again. The importance of this should not be underestimated. The internet and capitalism were supposed to jumpstart democracy in former communist regimes. These actions suggest a different future, one in which companies and dictators share benefits in suppressing democratic communications. That would be the core political in one. The companies offer these terse explanations. As Google spokesman says, it has removed sources that wouldn't be accessible to users in China anyway to create the best possible news search experience. Fuck you. Microsoft and Yahoo spokesmen say companies must obey laws and regulations of the countries of which they do business. Again, fuck you, you evil cop-out shit. True. It is true, though, up to a point. But companies with traditions of defending free speech have rejected such compromises. For instance, Time, USA Today, The New York Times, The Wall Street Journal have all policies against bowing to censorship. Time Asia was banned for 3 years in China for running afoul of censors in a story on the Falun Gong sect. Apologists argue that U.S. companies would be locked out of China if they didn't cooperate, closing China off from outside influence. Fuck you. The people in China are going to be rabid. And there's going to be people in China. The Linux crew in China is going to be getting outside the box, okay? They're going to be able to get out there. There's going to be all kinds of portals we can set up to make sure those people in China have access to server. And more importantly, server has access to those people in China to help them get with the thoughts and ideas that we need to make this world into one global little blue ball. But the Chinese government needs them as much as they need the Chinese. A little hard bargaining might go a long way. Yeah, guess what? If you shut off the access to all your people, and therefore, what does that do? That stifles innovation, and China starts getting left behind because they're stifling innovation, they're going to change their tune pretty goddamn fast. Ultimately, censorship might prove futile. Internet use in China has quadrupled since 2000, and there's no way to even China's censors can keep up with the 94 million users away from the idea the government finds objectionable. So that's why there's less and less foresight on the effects of Google and Microsoft. Like, bad move, guys. Yahoo, what the fuck? You know, obviously, all you're going to do, this is a bad PR move. Even if you were to lose a little bit of money right now, in the long term, you would save a lot more face. And when the regime in China falls, Bill Gates, if he hadn't gone with this, if he'd have stood up and said, no, I want freedom for the people in China, wow. The richest man in the world gets up and says some shit like that, that's got power. That's got real power. And I'm sorry, you know, if he's like, well, there's security, fuck you and conservative security concerns, Bill. Come on, man. You got like a whole team of Shaolin Gurkhas protecting your ass 24-7. You got a house that tracks people by seismic sensors, dude. Give me a fucking break. The Israeli massage couldn't put a hit out on you, and you're sitting there telling me you're worried about security concerns just by taking a stance on freedom? Fuck that. That's just really, really sad. The American experience is that ideas are impossible to quell. Companies have flourished in the free system, would do better to stand up to censors rather than to join them. I couldn't agree anymore. That's a really sad story, but not to worry, because freedom and ideas will win. People's natural interest will overcome these barriers. There's nothing they can do about that, because there'll be 14-year-old kids who learn tinfoil Linux and will be able to get out and get their friends the information they need to stay alive. In core political crackdown news, another story from Dead Goat. This guy doesn't sleep. The Walt Disney Company and four other entertainment companies are cracking down on a Los Angeles produce vendors for allegedly selling, you ready for this one? Walt Disney and four other entertainment companies freak out and go down to L.A. for the people who are selling counterfeit piñatas. That's right, counterfeit piñatas. You know the things that you stuff full of candy and the kids hit with a stick and it breaks, falls open, a bunch of stuff falls out? It's kind of a deranged ritual, actually. Yeah, well, I guess Disney's all pissed off because people are selling counterfeit piñatas. Now, if these were counterfeit piñatas that you hit with a stick and never broke, the kid just got, you know, Conan-type arms because he's been beating the stick for 6 months, that's fine. I could say, okay, that's a little cruel. But, yeah, let's get through this here. The Los Angeles Times says Disney and other companies filed copyright and trademark infringement lawsuits against two downtown produce vendors for allegedly selling the counterfeit piñatas featuring the likenesses of such characters as Cinderella and Dora the Explorer. Piñata makers, known as piñateros, are a cottage industry in Los Angeles. Yeah, I'm sure there's lots of people bringing in six figures from piñatas. Their piñatas, which look much different than the piñatas found in chain store, are generally sold in small shops in Latino neighborhoods. And you can bank that the ones that these piñateros sell are probably better looking than the pieces of shit that Disney sells. Many of those piñatas are illegal because they resemble licensed characters and are sold without the owner's permission. Disney Enterprises, San Hiro Company Cartoon Network, Viacom International, and Hanna-Barbera Productions alleged in a lawsuit filed last month. So who's the really tough guys? We got Disney, Scenario, Cartoon Network, and Viacom, as well as Hanna-Barbera, are attacking people in Latino neighborhoods in L.A. for making piñatas. Piñatas. Holy fuck. Our characters and our brands are the lifeblood of our business, and we are vigilant about protecting our intellectual property against illegal usage. Fuck you, clown. Viacom spokeswoman Julia Phelps told the LA Times. Yeah, so that gives you the right to go into these names. These people are hurting, okay? There's a lot of people. You think if somebody got up in the morning and said, you know what I want to do when I want to go up? I want to make piñatas. That's what I want to do. I want to be a piñata-making guy. You know, never mind being an astronaut. I don't want to be a cop. I don't want to be a scientist. I don't want to be an inventor. What I want to be is a piñatero. You know, obviously, these people are doing this because they need the money. It's a cottage industry because people need the cash to survive. you know. Oh, sure, it's great to exploit all the Latin people in the United States to make sure they take over the service industry. Let's just keep them all as slaves. That way they can, you know, clean our food and they can, you know, wash our clothes and they can do all this stuff. That's fine. Prepare me a meal, that's great, but don't go make it a piñata. Fucking sick. And speaking of which, Mookie sent in some sad Canadian news. Look at these pathetic Canadians. Jesus Christ. Peer-to-peer users were put on notice Monday after the Liberal government introduced a bill calling for stricter copyright legislation to crack down on music sharing. Too bad we didn't have any legislation to crack down on sponsorship scandals. Bill C-60 would amend the Copyright Act, bringing it up to speed with today's technologies. Read, bringing it up to speed with American ideas. Namely, internet activities like file sharing and burning unlimited copies of CDs and movies. The biggest change comes through a make available clause, which would make it illegal to upload songs into online shared directories, as in with the case with Kazaa or BitTorrent, unless you are the rights holder of the material. Now, this is something that will go up against BitTorrent, a little bit scary. The amendments would also create anti-tampering laws to prevent people from cracking copyright protection seals on CDs. They do not prevent people from making copies for personal use. So again, fuck you. This does nothing. Good for you. Doesn't solve a thing. The bill, says Heritage Minister Lisa Frilla, sends, quote, the message to everybody out there that it's not free because it's on the internet, end quote. Well, yeah, why don't we just charge for everything? Why don't we charge, you know, it'd be great if they could install those little, you know, tracers in our eyes so they could see how much we read and we could be charged on a per word basis. That'd be hot. The objective was to modernize the Copyright Act in order to make it to be able to clarify the rights of authors and to include control over making their material available on the internet, she said as she stumbled around her words as because she's done too much cocaine. If passed, the bill would exempt internet service providers such as Rogers and Telus from copyright liability. Oh, look at that. The ISPs would instead have to implement a new warning system called Notice and Notice, something they're currently doing on an informal basis. On an informal basis? Their warning system is called Notice and Notice. I wasn't screwing up my words like I was with informal basis, but yeah, that's what they actually call it. It's Notice and Notice. You gotta wonder if they got a team of monkeys working around the clock on this thing. Customers would receive a notice letter from their ISP that rights holder is alleging that sharing copyright protected information. It would ask the individual to remove the material from the shared directory or face a lawsuit. So they send out a slap warning letter. They go, hey, do this or else. Now, that's really great. But poor Canadians, oh, I'm afraid our file sharing will be quite operational when Bill C-60 arrives. There's nothing you can do about it, okay? No matter what you try to do, no matter how fast you try to make these laws, we are going to get information out there because that's what server does. We don't give a shit if we have to transmit the whole goddamn thing by Morse code. We will automate that process and make it happen because the kids are getting too smart for you. You are lawmakers. We are the internet. You will not win this because we have more power than you. But fill your boots. You know, you fill your boots. I mean, news groups much, FTP much, and that's just the shit that I know, and I'm not even in the game. Okay, not to mention Tor, not to mention IRC, not to mention tunneling. I mean, Jesus Christ, guys, come on now. You're just trying to make it seem like nobody's doing it to get people away from doing it online. No, it's totally illegal. You'll get in big trouble. Big trouble. The rope tied around the elephant's leg, eh? Big trouble. In Nature Kickback News, this is from Wyandi. Infertility is set to double in Europe over the next decade, a leading UK fertility expert has warned. One in seven couples now has trouble conceiving naturally. Sounds like a good thing to me. But Professor Bill Ledger from Sheffield University warned this could rise to one in three. He told a European fertility conference that women should be offered career breaks so they can have children younger while they're more fertile. Maybe the women don't want to have children because they like their career, because they want the money, because they want the nice cars and the lifestyle. Obesity and sex infections were also increasing infertility. The incidence of chlamydia, a sexually transmitted infection which carries a risk of infertility, has doubled over the last decade, and 6% of the girls under the age of 19 are currently classed as obese. What the hell does that have to do with anything? Fat chicks can get pregnant. I don't really care. You're just worried that no one will nail them because they're fat? I guess again. A potential rise in male infertility could also affect couples, Professor Ledger said. Both the quality and quantity of sperm appeared to be in decline. Well, you know. Young people of today will be tomorrow's patients of infertility clinics, Professor Ledger said. He warned that the rise in sexually transmitted infections in young teenagers was likely to cause blocked fallopian tubes in some. Later, When these young women want to become mothers, they find they can't conceive. Professor Ledger added, the obese child is almost certain destined to be an obese adult. Many women who are overweight will not ovulate as efficiently. Jesus Christ, pretty Nazi doctor here. Inflexible working hours and financial career aspirations may mean many women are putting off having a family until their late 30s, early 40s, he said. The sustainability of the population of Europe is at risk because there are too few children being born. It is a threat to the future. No, what he should have said there was, quote, the sustainability of the population of Europe is at risk because there are too few white children being born. It is a threat to a white future. Okay, that's what he's really saying here. There's lots of people having kids, just not a lot of white people having kids. Okay, so this to me, you know, me saying, you know, if you see file sharing cops coming for a guy, Warner Brother, that's not racism. Shit where this guy is saying that there's a threat to the future because there's not enough white people being born, that is racism. Today's Daily Hack, it's pirate art from No Delete. I didn't understand what this was, but when you go to the link, what it is people go to hotels. This is really, really cool, okay, and it's a way to be sneaky, artistic, submersive, and elite all in one. If you go to a hotel room, you unscrew the wall mirror, or you unscrew any kind of structure that's screwed onto the wall, like a wall painting or a mirror or whatever, and then you paint your own masterpiece on the wall behind it, so it'll be covered up when you put the painting back on the wall, and you have your own hidden secret artwork that no one will ever know about. You could use this idea in one of my horror novels, is what he says in this letter here. This is sent to me from No Delete. And I'm probably going to use that in one of my horror novels because it's a great idea. Not only that, if you were to go to a hotel room, you break out your SOG power plier or some other multi-tool, pop all the mirrors off the walls, and bada boom, bada bing, you've got your own groovy art to chillax to. Sounds like a good idea to me. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to get all the information that you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of Forley, Alan, Drew, Dwight, Simaru, The Grey Ghost, Drake, Weblight, Philip, Paradin, Jesse, Andrew, Michael, End User, Christopher, Noob, Derek, Joseph, Jesse, Eric, Desert Runner, Steve, Brandon, Jason, Matthew, Mainframe, Peter, Malcolm, Timor, Rosalie, Keith, Matt, Evan, Austin, David, Jonathan, Adam, Richard, Charles, Philip, Jason, Jonathan, Host Mojo, Matt, Charles, Lars, Eric, Dark Nature, and Brandon. New subscribers this month. The people who showed up to fight are Ed, Jennifer Palmer, Art, Kevin, Michael, Dennis, Jesse, Matthew, and Jason. Thank you so much. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air and help me with my speech impediment, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab. Every little bit helps. Upcoming events? None. But, you know, I'm still taking submissions for my Hunter Circuit, which is my worldwide circuit, which I will eventually go on around the world, traveling to cons until I eventually burn out, crash, and die. If you have access to any sensitive information or any of the pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by Nam Nam Bulu called Distances. Oh, and I got this note. Dear Sean, I was listening to the music today, and Tom Petty, the last DJ, came on. Whenever I hear this song, it reminds me of you. I remembered that in the past, you mentioned the people who sent in music to play at the end of Newsreel, and I feel this would be a perfect addition. That was from Rip Drive. So I'm going to leave you with this song, and until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line. Upstairs just don't understand anymore. Well, the top brass don't like him talking so much, and he won't play what they say to play, and he don't wanna change what don't need to change. And there goes the last DJ who plays what he wants to play, says what he wants to say. Hey, hey, hey. And there goes your freedom of choice. There goes the last human voice. And there goes the last DJ. Well, some folks say they're gonna hang him so high, cause you just can't do what he did. There's some just can't put in the minds of those kids.
as we celebrate mediocrity. All the boys upstairs want to see how much you'll pay for what you used to get for free. And there goes the last DJ who plays what he wants to play and says what he wants to say. There goes the last human voice. And there goes the last DJ. Sometimes it'll kind of come in, and I'll bust a move and remember how it was back then. And there goes the last DJ who plays what he wants to play and says what he wants to say. Hey, hey, hey. And there goes your freedom of choice. There goes